from the very core of my soul that God wants to bless you and I, His people, in a wonderful way. I believe that there are wonderful things that God wants you as an individual to do in your life. I believe that there are some great things that God wants you and I as a congregation collectively to do. But I believe as much as I'm standing here that many of those blessings and that many of those accomplishments that God has for us, we are never going to see them. And the reason is because we do not yet understand or know how to receive from God. Now, to be sure, there are many steps in the process of receiving. But this morning, I want to share with you the very first step. It is the most fundamental step of all of receiving the blessings of God and accomplishing the purpose of God in your life. Are you with me so far? Now, that first step to receiving is this: get thirsty. Get thirsty. The first step in receiving the blessings of God, brethren, is that we have to want it. You say, but we understand that. Not only don't we understand that, we don't nearly understand that. When I say the first step to blessing, when I say you have to want it, what I'm talking about is a longing. I'm talking about a craving. I'm talking about getting up and getting after it. I'm talking about getting thirsty. I'm talking about, if this is what God wants me to have, I'm going to be about getting this, and I'm not going to stop till I get this. I am thirsty for what God has for me. Now let me show you how this comes across in Scripture. I want everybody, please, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Watch how this thirst, this desire of to receive comes about. Verse 7 and verse 8. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Verse 8, "For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Look at the passage. Watch how the passage will unfold in front of you. There are three verbs in verse 7. The three verbs are ask, seek, and knock. Do you see that? Those three verbs in that verse are in an imperative form. What that means is that they are in a command form. What Jesus said, I command you to ask. I command you to seek. I command you to knock. Watch the verse unfold. These three verbs are not only in a command form, these three verbs are in a present tense. What Jesus said is, I'm commanding you, you ask, then you ask again, and then you ask again, and then you keep asking. It's a present tense form. Jesus said, I command you to seek, I command you to keep seeking, and I command you to keep seeking. Jesus said, I command you to knock, I command you to knock again, I command you to keep on knocking. It is a continuance, it is a present tense form. Now, watch the verse unfold. Not only are these three verbs in a command mode, not only are they in a present tense form, but look at the three words, ask, seek, knock. What are those three words doing? Those three words are rising in intensity. Ask. What does that mean? Pray. Ask is prayer. Seek is prayer plus action. Knock is prayer plus action plus persistence. Now watch the verse come off the page and come into your heart. Look at the verse. Who is the person that receives from the Lord? It is the person who asks and asks and asks and keeps asking. What is this person? This person is thirsty for what God has for him. Look at the verse. Who is it that finds the blessings of God? It's the person who seeks and seeks and seeks and keeps seeking. What is this seeking person? This person is thirsty for what God has for them. Who is it that has the door of God's blessings opened up to him? It's the person who knocks and who knocks and who knocks and who keeps knocking and who keeps knocking until that door of blessings is opened up. What is that person who is knocking? That person is thirsty. The first step to receiving the blessing of God is you got to want this. Turn back one page. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed. Oh, I want to be blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you see it? Hunger and thirst. Look at me. What is hunger and thirst? Hunger and thirst are two of the strongest drives that a human being has. When a person is really hungry, when a person is really thirsty, those two drives dominate their thinking. Look at it. Who is the blessed person? Who is the blessed person? The blessed person is the person who longs. Like a hungry man longs for food. Like a thirsty man longs for something to drink. He who is blessed is he who longs like a hungry man, like a thirsty man. He longs that he might put himself in a right relationship with God. Who is the blessed man? The blessed man is the hungry man. Listen, get thirsty. We can't go any further till we get this. We can't go any further till we understand this. When I say get thirsty, when I say the first step of receiving God's blessing, when I say the first thing I must understand in order to fulfill the purpose of my life, when I say that you and I collectively, Highland Church, that we must understand in order to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish is that we must be thirsty. That means you and I must be about doing whatever it is we have to do in order to get what God wants us to do. It's called getting thirsty. Well, I'd like to get there. Just go home. Because you're never going to get there. And when you get home, just get under the bed. And when it's all right, we'll come get you and tell you to come out. You got to want this. You got to want this. And you got to want this bad enough to get up and do whatever God says you got to do to get this. Two very general observations. Observation number one is that this getting thirsty is the key. This is the key. This thirst, this craving, this longing, this blessing, this thing that God wants me to do, this thing that God wants us to do. Getting thirsty is the key. Now, let me prove that to you. First, getting thirsty is the key to salvation. Now, look at me and listen to me. You cannot save a person who doesn't want to be saved. You can talk to them. You can pray for them and with them. You can beg them. You can cry with them. You can get down on your knees and plead. But nobody is going to be saved who isn't first thirsty for salvation. On the other hand, You show me a man or a woman who longs to be delivered from sin. You show me somebody who longs to get out of the life they're in and to get into the life of Jesus Christ. You show me a man or a woman who is thirsty for the blessing of God of salvation, and I'll show you a person. It will be relatively easy to point out in the Bible, this is what you must do, and they'll do it. Why? They're thirsty for it. And I would say this, if you're in this assembly, and if you are not saved, and if you have just the slightest desire for salvation, I want to encourage you, you keep fanning that little spark until it flames up in a fire, and when you get thirsty enough, you're going to act on it. Getting thirsty is the key. It's the key to salvation. Until a person thirsts and wants it, you can't get it to them. Second, listen now, this applies to us. Getting thirsty is the key to spiritual maturity. You can go to the Christian bookstore or just go online. There will be more books. There will be more information on spiritual growth and development than you could ever read in 10 lifetimes. But I want to say this, and I want everybody to understand this, and I am not going to stutter when I say it. There is no book in the world. There is no class in the world. There is no workshop. There is no lectureship. There is no small group or anything else like that in the world that's going to help you to spiritually mature until first you get thirsty. You gotta want it. Now I'm gonna say this, and you old heads are gonna remember this. And I'm not an old head, but I was born and raised by a mother and father who both were old heads. We need to get back to begging God. I heard that all my life. We need to get back to begging God. We need to get back to begging God to take us and to put us in our little part of His world and use us to make a difference where we are. We need to get back to begging God. Begging God to give us a faith. A faith that does more than just go through some little religious motions and drop into the church building when it's convenient for us to do it. We need to get back to begging God. And when you want to grow spiritually, and when you want to mature in the things of this book, it will happen when you say to yourself, what I want is that I want to grow, and I want that more than I want anything else, and I'm not going to stop till I get it. And until you get there, you're going to hit and miss all the way. Getting thirsty is the key. It's the key. It's the key to salvation. It's the key to spiritual maturity. You're not gonna grow till you want it bad. Number three, getting thirsty is the key to church growth. Do you know, look at me, listen to me. You know I love you, and that's why I can just talk. Right? Do you know when every pew in this building will be full? It's when we want it. It's when we want it. It's when we get thirsty. The very first New Testament Christians on the face of this earth are described in Acts 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly. What were they? They were thirsty. They were thirsty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul is talking about the household of a group named Stephanus. That was their names. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 15, Paul said that the household of Stephanus, that they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Oh, they were thirsty. We know something about addiction to drugs. We know something about an addiction to alcohol. Or we know something about an addiction to tobacco and how it takes over a person's life. But here was a family of Christians who were addicted to the work of God. They were thirsty. And when you get there, you'll make a difference in your world. Highland, the very first step in receiving every good thing that God has is a willingness on our part to get thirsty. The first step to receiving everything good that God has is a willingness and a determination on our part to get thirsty and to say, look, I got to have this. Getting thirsty is the key. Second observation, quickly. Why do I say getting thirsty is the key? Why is this longing? Why is this craving? Why is this mind thing about this is what God has for me to do, and I got to get to this, and I'm going to figure a way to do this, but everything else may be waiting, but this is going to get done. Why is that the key? Why is getting thirsty the key? Very quickly, two reasons. Number one, because a person who is thirsty is willing to take a risk. They're willing to take a risk. Listen, a person who gets thirsty enough is a person who's willing to stand up and to step out of their comfort zone. In the late 60s, a guy by the name of Fred Smith was a business student at Yale University. Now, even if you don't know who Fred Smith is, everybody here knows what Fred Smith did. He took a business course, and a professor at Yale University, first day of class, said, "Listen, we got one paper this semester. One." He said, "I want everyone in this class to come up with an idea of a business that you want to start." And he says, "Give me detail and make it reasonable and reliable." But he says, "That's what I want." So Fred Smith worked like crazy that whole semester on his idea for business. Fred Smith's idea was to come up with a business that would deliver packages while everybody in the world, in the country, was asleep. So that when people got up the next morning and when businesses opened the next morning, the packages they had ordered the day before would be there the next morning. He was proud of his paper. Nobody had ever thought of that. And he turned it in. His paper came back with a low C. And a whole lot of writing in red ink on the last page of it. "I told you I wanted this to be reasonable. It is not reasonable that all this is going to go on overnight." Are you listening? In 1973, Fred Smith risk everything. And he started a little business that he called Federal Express. When you absolutely, positively have to have it there overnight. The first night, they delivered six packages. One of those packages, Fred Smith sent. He sent to a friend of his who lived on the other side of the country, and the only reason he sent it to him was to see if it could get there overnight. Today, Federal Express, listen to me, is part of a multi-billion-dollar industry of overnight delivery. Why? Because there was one man who was willing to risk everything. He was thirsty. He said, "I can do this." And he stepped out of his comfort zone and he did it. Here's what I'm saying. Brethren, I'm saying there are people all over the world who are willing to make huge risks in order to get financial gain. How much risk are we willing to make for the kingdom of God? Take a risk. Take a risk. Getting thirsty is the key, because a thirsty man will take a risk. Secondly, in closing, getting thirsty is the key because a person who is thirsty will not be stopped by the negative reaction of other people. In Luke, the 18th chapter, Jesus is going into the city of Jericho. He's going for the last time through Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem where he will be crucified. And as Jesus approaches Jericho, and as he walks through Jericho, people have lined the street to get to see this guy. And on the side of the road that day, there was a blind man. And as Jesus began to pass, this blind man on the side of the road began to cry out for Jesus. He said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." But you didn't do that. So the people around the blind man said, "Look, you got to stop that. You can't do that." And they tried to hush him, but he wasn't going to be hushed. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." They're saying, "Listen, you have to stop that." He's saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus did have mercy on him. Why? Because he wanted it bad enough that he refused to allow those around him with negative voices to stop him. Criticism does not stop a person who's thirsty. So you go to work, and there's people at work, and maybe everybody, they don't even know you're a Christian. You know why? Because you're afraid of their voices. You won't even take that risk. You're a Christian, and you got neighbors don't know you're a Christian. Because you're afraid of criticism. Well, they may make fun of me. Let me say this to you. Do you understand this morning? There is a difference between a decision and a commitment. So here's my question. Have you made a decision for Jesus, or have you made a commitment to Jesus? Years ago, a lot of us made a decision for Jesus, but have never made the commitment. I have said the first step to receiving the blessings of God is you got to get thirsty. You just got to have this. You got to have this. The first step in becoming spiritually mature, you got to get thirsty. The first step in growing a church, in filling a building, in reaching souls for Christ, we got to have this. So the question of the hour is this: how thirsty are you? How thirsty are you? Are you thirsty enough this morning to come to Jesus and be saved? To be baptized for the remission of your sins? Oh, I want it. How bad do you want it? Are you thirsty enough to grow, to mature as a Christian? Are you thirsty enough to finally take your talent and the ability that God has given to you and to use it in the kingdom of God for the spreading of the word of God and the edifying of the body? Getting thirsty, that's the first step to blessing. And until you want what God has for you bad enough to get up and sweat to get it, you don't want it. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. It's not about easy. It's about what's right. I challenge you to get thirsty. I challenge you in your own heart. I can do this for God, and I'm going to do this. If you're not a Christian, be thirsty. If you're away from God, hunger and thirst to come back to Him. And do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.